So we get all the fun of traffic noise. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Sitting at the old, I don't know, what is this, a gas station? Sitting
behind the old country-style drive-through, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. if that sign is to be waved.
Hanging out behind the old gas station. You know what I noticed here and at that Irving down that way that really makes me jealous?
Yes, I know exactly what you notice.
What did
no?
I was like, you threw me off. Like, no way, no one else noticed this. No, just that at night they're 24-hour, but the door locks, so you have to buzz. And if they don't like the look of you, they don't have to let you in.
Huh?
And I used to work at this coffee shop where I was just telling you earlier. I met Ben Affleck, my good friend Ben. But it was 24-hour, and we had no such system. So I was dealing with crazy asshole weirdo drug addicts all night. The prostitutes were nice though.
Like, nice as in friendly, or yeah. Nice looking?
Well, mostly nice as in friendly, but okay. some of them are okay. It's like,
they're not the movie prostitutes that right. We've come to know and love.
But they would come in and get, it was like a case of Arrested Development or something, because they would get hot chocolate and cookies. And we had really fancy hot chocolate. It was like $4 for a hot chocolate, but it just seems so wrong to suck dick all night and then just hot chocolate and cookies. Like, regain our innocence, yay!
If I have good sex tonight, I get a cookie.
So did you notice over on the Jumbo video over there? Cool nights are coming. Warm up with the movie. Which means we had our 3 weeks of summer in Canada. And now it's all over.
Yeah, it got really weird. It was like really, really hot. And then the storm came. And then got really cold.
Yeah.
Crazy yeah. cold.
I was wearing long underwear in August, man. That ain't right.
It fits you.
Yeah, it really does. Like, and it's only going to get worse as I get skinnier and more frail as I get older. Just more and more the grizzled prospector fella.
I'm imagining it's like, have you ever heard that song? Well, you saw Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, right?
Yeah.
There's a song in there called Oh Death. Do you know that one?
I had the soundtrack, so I'm sure yeah. I do. I just don't know which one that is.
It's basically just this guy talking about how he's going to die. And, you know, just how he's getting colder and jaws locking up and everything. That's going to be you.
Oh, death. Won't you spare me over till another year? Well, what is this that I can't see with ice cold hands taking hold of me? Well, I am death, none can excel. I'll open the door to heaven or hell. Oh, death, someone would pray, could you wait to call me another day? The children prayed, the preacher preached, time and mercy is out of your reach. I'll fix your feet till you can't walk. I'll lock your jaw till you can't talk. I'll close your eyes so you can't see this very hour come and go with me. Death, I come to take the soul, leave the body and leave it cold. To drop the flesh off of the frame, the earth and worm both have a claim. Oh, death. Oh, death. Won't you spare me over till another year? My mother came to my bed, placed a cold towel upon my head. My head is warm, my feet are cold. Death is a-moving upon my soul. Oh, death, how you treating me? You close my eyes so I can't see. Well, you're hurting my body. You make me cold. You run my life right out of my soul. Oh, death, please consider my age. Please don't take me at this stage. My wealth is all at your command, if you will move your icy hands. Oh, the young, the rich or poor, all alike me, you know. No wealth, no land, no silver, no gold. Nothing satisfies me but your soul. Oh, death. Oh, death. Won't you spare me over till another year? Won't you spare me over till another year? Won't you spare me over till another year?
Yeah, that is. I really do. I really like that movie.
And it's a great movie.
And it was one of those movies, like, when I worked at the comic shop, I could just put it on and let it play, because half of it is, like, music anyway.
Okay, I already know what our topic's going to be for today.
All right.
Movies.
Movies and songs related to movies.
Yeah.
Good enough.
But yeah, I saw the preview for their next movie. I heard that, I haven't seen it, but I heard Burn After Reading wasn't that great. But the next preview looks interesting for the next Coen Brothers movie. It's called A Serious Man.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
Okay.
Oh, or unless, is that the one where the trailer's almost like a song?
Yeah, yeah, like he's beating the guy's head. Like, it's this guy getting his head beat against a wall by his brother, I guess. And they're using that sound as like a rhythm, like a beat, throughout the entire trailer.
Yeah, that was a cool trailer. I always meant to just go, like, catch up on Coen Brothers movies, because there's a ton I haven't seen. I've probably only seen, like,
I wouldn't
five or
say
six
ton and... anymore, but I would say there's some important ones that I haven't seen. Like, I haven't seen Miller's Crossing, which was their big one.
Right.
And I have not seen... What was it?
They did Raising Arizona, right?
Yes.
I haven't seen that either.
I did see that one. I did see Barton Fink. It's one of those... I really like that one, but I can understand why some people would dislike it, because they have no taste. No, it's
because they're fucking stupid.
It's definitely my mother likes a lot of their movies, but the ones that aren't really horribly, dementedly dark. Because some of them are like, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, and they're a lot of fun and breezy.
And then there's the ones that are too breezy, like Intolerable Cruelty.
Oh, that wasn't very good.
And
Lady Killers was bad too.
Yeah, I didn't see
that. I remember when I was in the theater for that, the movie crapped out for the last... it was kind of a sweet moment, because the movie wasn't that great, but it crapped out in the last few minutes, and the usher... There was a girl, she came up and she told us all what happens at the end.
Did you get, like, at least a free
pass? We did. But I just thought that was kind of cool, because we were, like, 5 minutes away from the ending. And
that almost seems like it could be some Coen Brothers trick. Like, now 5 minutes in, you're going to need an usher to explain the end, because that's just how this works.
It's sort of like a Coen Brothers meets William Castle. You know who that is?
No,
he was
I don't.
Guy
Despite
in
my
the 50s.
Nodding, I did not know.
He was the guy in the 50s. Who had all the gimmicks.
Right.
Like, there was 3D, the shaking chairs.
What's that movie John Goodman was in?
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen that. I have to
Matinee.
See it. Yeah, I've never seen
that.
It
was great. I really like that movie, but it's been a long time since I saw it. But he had
We should try to track that down sometime.
Yeah, that might be good. Well, after this, there's probably not anything good at the theater, so let's go just to Jumbo, see if there's anything good there.
Sure.
Yeah, that's the one where he makes the movie where there's a horrible mutation. It's like The Fly, but it's a man and an ant, so
right.
It's a mant. And, like, the character in the movie isn't William Castle, like, specifically, but it's that kind of thing. And
right.
William Castle's whole thing was that, like, the movies would always have some sort of fun gimmick, because TV was sort of killing the movies at the time, so he needed reasons, like, the reason that people started coming was CinemaScope, which was just, there was a little extra screen in the movie, just to make it seem bigger. But his whole thing was just... gimmicks. So there would be like 13 ghosts with the glasses.
Right.
And that, okay, the remake of 13 Ghosts is awful. I think we can both agree.
Yeah, I did see that somehow.
But I think I would have forgiven it a lot more if it went with the glasses gimmick.
Yeah, it was like you put them on and you can see
the
ghosts or some shit. How did that even work?
Well, that was it. I think it was probably not even, it was probably in the original, the ghosts weren't really that clear looking, but it had to be, it was probably like double layered film or something. I don't know. But it's a cute premise, right?
I was just thinking this kind of mirrors what's happening right now, where...
Oh, the new 3D?
Yeah, like, home theaters are getting so good that it's destroying the movies, and now they're like, James Cameron's all like, Avatar's gonna prove to everyone that 3D is no gimmick, it's the way of the future.
I think it kinda is. I saw two movies in 3D, Up, and I loved Up, but the 3D did not work at all.
Oh, yeah.
It was, like, really perfunctory. Which is a shame, because Up was really good. I think WALL-E is the better movie, but I think I might like Up better. Like,
Yeah, I never saw it, but I was surprised. Like, I figured after Wall-E, I was like, man, no one's going to top that. And then all these reviews came in, and, like, Up was awesome. And I was
a lot of people say it didn't top it, and I don't think it necessarily did. But if I had to choose, like, the better one, it would be Wall-E.
But if I had to choose
the one that I like better, it might be Up. But then again, I'm the kind of guy that... I'm always afraid I'm going to be on a jury. It almost happened once. Because I consider myself an easy guy to convince. I'd be like, oh, you know what? He's right now. He's got a... Oh, no, wait. He did it. Also, I'd be very loud like that.
Nature trail to hell in 3D.
would be like one of those really obnoxious people in the movie theater, only it would be a courtroom setting. Don't go in there!
Isn't it amazing that there's still people like that at theaters that just like
it's kind of getting worse to a certain extent,
yeah,
too.
It's really weird. Although that was one thing that was kind of fun about New York is like when they say New York is a melting pot, that's a dirty lie. It's incredibly segregated. Everyone stays in their own little neighborhood. There's no melting going on. But if you want to go to a bad movie, go to a black neighborhood.
That's hilarious. That sounds like it's a lot of fun.
It really is. At a good movie, it'll drive you insane. But at a bad movie... Although I remember Keith and Hemda, the ones that do the podcast that I knew in New York, they for a while they had advertising for Little Man on their show, so they had to pretend that it wasn't terrible. The day that their Little Man advertising ended, they went to see Little Man just so they could, you know, finally tell their true thoughts. And Keith was like, if they had just closed the doors and gassed that whole theater, myself included, I would have been okay with that. Like, why was anyone there? Because that's the dark side of that sounded racist, but I didn't mean it that way. Of the black theaters, that they laugh their asses off at that shit.
I can't remember what it was, but I think there's like a Onion article like that. It was just about, we're gonna release this bad movie and people are gonna watch it because we are just gonna shove it down their throats. I don't watch TV as much anymore, and I'm kind of glad because of that kind of advertising.
Even just the other day, I was watching something online and it had a 30-second ad instead of a 15-second, and I was like, that's a little much.
Were we off track, or were we just going in this direction?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, we were talking about Coen Brothers, but I don't know if that's getting back on anything. Rambling's not so bad.
Since we were talking movie songs, let's just... I watched Children of Men, like I was telling you the other day. I really, really liked that movie. Like, I knew I remembered liking it, but watching it again, I was like, that's one of my favorite movies ever. That's crazy good. Although incredibly bleak. Much more bleak than I actually remembered, but... Then I went and downloaded the soundtrack, and it has a lot of really neat shit. So I don't know what I'm going to play off that soundtrack, but just toss in a song from the Children of Men soundtrack because it's good. And I remember there's like a part in the movie where they're like, here's a classic from 2003 when people still had hope. That's one thing I thought was interesting about that movie is it's kind of like a litmus test for your own, I don't know, your own... Like apparently a lot of people thought the ending was super bleak, whereas I thought the ending was fairly hopeful.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of like a test of... yourself. I was almost proud of myself.
Well, here's the thing. There's lots of movies or even stories where I could see that going both ways. Because I'm thinking, you know, I think most people think that the ending of 1984 is bleak. You know how that ends, right?
I never finished the book, but
basically, he just gets brainwashed.
Brother, yeah.
But he's happy now.
Right.
So in the end, spoiler, right?
Well, that's kind of like
the guy's happy now. He loves Big Brother.
The bionic zit splitter, breakneck speeds, we drown 10 pints of bitter. We lean all day, and some say that ain't productive. Could that depend upon the demon that you're stuck with? Cause right now, I see clearer than most. I sit here contented with this cheese on toast. I feel the pain of a third world famine. Said wait, we count them blessings and keep jamming. Tis him, scumbag, scum of the earth. His worth was nil until he gained the skill of tongues. From 15 years young, straight to my greyback self, I stay top shelf material. Jerk chicken, jerk fish, break away slave bliss. Generate G's and then be stashing with the Swiss. Fools can't see this. Under your pistols, a fist full of hip-hop duns. I progressing in the flesh. Esoteric quotes, most frightening. Duppy took a hold of my hand while I was writing. Leg on me ting, Duppy, leg on me an. I summon up the power of Banana Clan. Witness the fitness, the prophet and live F. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness, the prophet and live F. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness, the prophet and live F. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness, the prophet and live F. One hope, one quest. swigging that deep root juice. Now we there burning booths, set them spirit them loose. Go ahead, go slash up the noose. We conclusive proof about the truth, the right. Cause whether we hitchhike or push bike or travel kind of trash, manifest that with oats and roots rap. Manifest that, yeah, I do my zing way. Ain't nothing else I know. Gone up in the life with this and ragged bone flow. Squeeze the pain from my belly and set my soul free. Travel over ocean, land and sea. Face enough stress and difficulty. Flung back from the brink, whining kinda stink. We don't give a frig about what them fools think. Frig your network, our network will speak for itself. Proof of the trophy and the champion belt. Come sun, come rain, come hailstone pelt. Witness the fitness, the prophets and live at. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness, the prophets and live at. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness, the prophets and live at. One hope, one quest. Yeah. Wanna see me with some old time shit. Let the old world know he's on some off key tip. Mega manic, when time the pressure start lick. By the hook or by the crook, by the poop or by the kick. He's sickly cryptic, spitting the code. And most proud to present that Crawfordton mode. And it shows that that bro's done seen a few slights. Life row scenario, reality bites. We in collision with the beast. Lost to religion, now we can't get no peace. Idiot beak out, one for tech, eye for chief. Stoop to the level and we plotting cold grief. But we should know that discipline make up the geese. Separation of the dat from the rat, that's a must. Proceed, set speed with the Crawfordton touch. Proceed, set speed, Crawfordton, y'all. Witness the fitness, the Crawfordton living. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness, the Crawfordton living. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness, the Crawfordton living. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness, the Crawfordton living. One hope, one quest.
But speaking of like incredibly bleak films with hopeful endings, you said you were going to see Shawshank for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's almost a bold thing, to me anyway, to watch it with friends, because the first time I saw it, I cried like a baby. It was pathetic. I was so glad no one else was around. So good luck with that.
It's easy to make me cry.
And I mean, it's like maybe just because there'll be people around, it will be different. But yeah, oh man, that movie... Just
wiped you out, huh?
Yeah. Oh man, it was good though. So good. Maybe I should play a song from that too, like a Hank Williams song or something.
I don't know who that is.
He's an old-timey country guy.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Not Hank Aaron?
No. Who's Hank Aaron?
Isn't he a baseball player?
Sure, why not?
I think he was on Futurama once. His grandson or something was the world's worst Blurns ball player.
Oh, nice. But you could literally combine any two words and tell me there was a baseball player. And I'd be like, yeah, probably. I don't know. Elephant Quizno.
I like that name. I think Quizno is what sells it. Well, what about movies that are coming out? The only big one that I'm looking forward to, I'm sure there's others that I'm forgetting, but the only really big one I'm looking forward to is the Scott Pilgrim one. And that's not going to be done until like 2011, I imagine.
Yeah, I was going to say that after this little burst of summer shit, I can't think of anything else that I'm actually like sort of looking forward to. Inglourious Basterds was like the last one, and I was like, now, I don't know. When's Avatar anyway? I mean, I guess
Avatar,
I gotta go.
I don't really care.
Yeah,
I saw the trailer.
Yeah,
it's like, do it for me.
It just looks like Halo with blue people.
I actually was sort of into it until there was action scenes. I was like, oh, this guy's gonna put himself into this crazy body. That's kind of neat. And oh, it's action. Yeah, I think you can do really good sci-fi without people beating the shit out of each other. Have you ever seen Gattaca?
No, I never did.
That's a good movie. There's almost no action whatsoever. Actually, I'd say no, but I can't entirely remember.
But I mean,
someone
people
gets
do,
a beating.
People do move around and pick up objects.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just a drama with science fiction in it, and it's a really moving movie.
Nice.
About the triumph of the human spirit.
For some reason, I thought Gattaca was like a set in the past movie. Obviously, I know
nothing
about
it. No, no, no. It's in the future.
cool.
It's basically about how it's like if you have inferior DNA, you're pretty much set in like the year, like you can only be a janitor or something like that.
That's fair. Maybe I'll like pick the wrong side when I watch this movie. Like, I really like where they're going with this.
That's how it works with war movies, isn't it? Like, a lot of war movies are anti-war movies, but the government will like show them for the army, and then they'll all cheer.
Right.
Like Apocalypse Now,
smell
I think
a
is one of those.
Napalm in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was gonna say about Avatar. I think the angry video game nerd put it best when he's like, "Man, when did CG show up and just take a shit all over everything?" Because like. Like, you know, The Thing or The Blob from the
80s. The Thing is one of my favorite movies of all time, and it always will be.
And those special effects are, like, the best.
That was the year I was born that came out.
Nice.
And it still looks amazing. Like, you can't see anything. I think it's not just that CGI is necessarily bad. It's just, it doesn't look tangible a lot of the time. And that's important to me.
And I think,
this feeling, especially when I was young, it was a feeling that you could touch something.
And nobody has more money and cachet than James Cameron.
Yeah.
And even his looks stupid. So it's like, that's a bad sign. I will say District 9 has very nice looking aliens. They're pretty cool. But yeah, it's just, I do miss practical effects. Those were the days.
It's a great art. I'm trying to think of some other great movies that did that kind of thing. You know, just, you could just have an effects movie.
Yeah, or even if they weren't.
Or not just an effects movie. A movie with great effects and not having to worry about computers. You really had to work here for your effects, I imagine.
Or even stuff like Labyrinth. I mean,
you could tell
those were
puppets.
Yeah,
that's the kind of thing, exactly.
But it was awesome.
But you could touch them. They were there. They had a physical presence. That's the important thing. There's a physical presence. There's a sense that you could touch them.
That's I should play a song from that, too. That had some awesome songs. You remind me of the babe. What babe? The babe with the power. What power? Power of voodoo. Voodoo,
see,
voodoo.
I like that song. I have no idea what it's about. It's about magic voodoo babies.
I remember I was actually playing that on a mix CD at the comic shop one time. And some chick came in and was like, "That's from Labyrinth." And I was like, "Yeah." And I know it's weird to bring up, but it's, how can you not bring it up, is David Bowie had a huge package in that film.
He did.
And that was definitely, like,
a kid's movie.
Yeah, but and like the fact that Jennifer Connelly was right at that age where she's just like becoming a grown-up and she's faced with this horrifying huge penis, like, I think there's
a
metaphor going on.
I would agree. I would not be surprised at all.
Yeah,
sometimes the metaphors are not what we intend them to be, but that's what it comes into.
It's a babe.
What babe?
Babe with the power. Power of voodoo.
Voodoo.
You do.
Do what?
Remind me of the babe.
I saw my baby crying for this babe could cry.
What could I do?
I saw my baby.
remind me of the babe.
What babe?
Babe with the power.
What power?
Power of voodoo.
Voodoo.
You do.
Do what?
Remind me of the babe.
Do that. You could, like, it's not even subconsciously necessarily, but I still want to give credit to the people who come up with things accidentally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I do think there's something to be said for, especially in novels and stuff, like, if people try really hard to have their symbolism and crap, it's usually lame, but if it just comes out of your subconscious, and then it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Or things like Trainspotting, for instance. Like, I don't think that they intended for that movie to be as good as it was, but it accidentally was. Like, it just sort of happened.
Oh, what was that? I wouldn't call this a great movie by any stretch of the imagination, but it just came up. I guess the guys who made Friday the 13th intended it to be like, this is going to be our pot boiler. This is just going to tide us over till we do a real family movie that's going to throw us over the edge. And it turned out, obviously, that it was Friday the 13th.
Did they ever actually make this mythical?
I don't know. I'm kind of curious now.
I think, though, didn't that guy, the guy who directed it, I think he also did, like, Black Christmas and one of the, like, Meatballs or Porky's or some bullshit.
Not Black Christmas. I mean, there might have been someone involved. Black Christmas was is actually considered a real classic.
Or maybe it was the same producer. But, I mean, it was, like,
producer,
that same era of just, like, they weren't intending to make a good movie.
Yeah.
It just accidentally happened.
Oh,
or, in the case of Friday the 13th, didn't happen.
What is it for Black Christmas? You watched some of that thing, right? That there's a 100 scariest movies Bravo did?
I watched the whole thing, and then they had an extra 20 as a bonus special.
Which weren't nearly as good.
No. Well, it was like number one of those was Hostel.
Really?
But come on. I mean, I like Hostel, but come on.
I haven't seen it. I'm sure it's okay, because I've heard even people who don't like those kinds of movies say, you know, it wasn't bad.
For a revenge movie, I've never been more satisfied with the revenge, so I'll give it that.
A lot of people say that, too. But I think it was Olivia Hussey, who was most famous for playing Juliet in the 1960s Romeo and Juliet with
and
a nipple.
Her boobs, yeah, right.
I guess she was in a movie with Steve Martin. Steve Martin goes, you were in my favorite movie. Oh, Romeo and Juliet? No, Black Christmas. I love that movie. I think that must be, like, really rewarding if you're in just a movie that it doesn't have a huge release, but then you meet someone famous and they say, that is my favorite movie you are in.
I told when I met Ben Affleck, this was got to be. I'm hoping this was among the nerdiest things anyone's ever said to him. Probably not enough for him to remember, but I told him that I really liked the commentary tracks that him and Kevin Smith did on Chasing Amy and Dogma. And he just said, like, yeah, Kevin puts a lot of work into those things. You know, just like, yeah, that's great. Give me my goddamn latte.
But you're great in Phantoms.
Yeah, Phantoms was the bomb. Oh, I saw in New York. Justin Long, and I told him he was the bomb in Galaxy Quest. I yelled it down the street, and he was just like, yeah, I'm with my real friends, but thanks. But I thought it was funny at the time. Yeah, and is the only celebrity. No, I saw Natalie Portman also, but I didn't say anything to her because I was, that's Natalie Portman. But Justin Long, I'm willing to yell across the, down the street at Justin Long.
You know, I think I said this before, but if I'm given the choice of owning John Hodgman or Justin Long, I'm going to have to go with John Hodgman.
Which one is he?
He's the PC.
Oh, I see.
Have you ever seen his comedy?
No, I never really
have. Oh, he's hilarious.
Really?
He's on The Daily Show quite sometimes,
Are you insinuating that Justin Long is sub-hilarious?
No, but...
No, I've never seen him.
But if, like, here's the thing. I don't know much about Justin Long, but if I was to put...
He was the bomb in Galaxy Quest. That's all you need to know.
Okay, but...
Which actually was a pretty good movie.
I agree. I liked Galaxy Quest a lot. But if I was to not know these people before and see them both, I still kind of would want to go with John Hodgman. He's got a respectability to him.
Yeah.
But he's a very funny comedian. I'll lend you his book.
All right.
When we get to my place. And fuck.
Give me the book first in case I need to slip out.
Oh, you'll slip out, all right.
Wow, that's terrible. Clever, but terrible.
No, he clearly puts a lot of work into his comedy books. Like, there's one where it's, he creates this, it's great, he creates this rich mythology for hobo culture. And, like, how there's actually, like, a hobo king and queen, and how there was this war between the government and the hobos, and that's why hobos don't exist anymore. They disappeared, but no one knows where, maybe to the stars.
Cheese.
You know, speaking of just that whole, like, John Stewart Colbert Report thing, the girl I was dating in New York, her roommate's dad was on the Colbert Report once. He's like a famous economist guy.
Oh, cool.
Economicist. But I'm just thinking, that's so cool. Like, by the degrees of separation, I basically met and was adored by Colbert.
I think he uses that kind of logic all the time, so that's great.
So that's another famous person that I know personally. Randy Bachman came into Strange Adventures one time.
I don't know who that is.
He's, what's that song? Taking Care of Business?
Oh, Bachman Turner Overdrive Bachman.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Who else? Like, nobody else came into the comic store, I don't think, that I recognized. But at that coffee shop, it was like tons of people. There was the dude that played Mr. Svenning in Mallrats, the bald guy, Michael Rooker.
Okay.
He came in, and what was the kid's
name? And he exploded in Slither.
yeah, exactly, him. And in Gingersnaps, the dude who was like, he was like the drug dealer guy. He doesn't live. But he's only been in that, and he was in, like, Final Destination 3. Like, he was amazed I knew who he was, but I've seen Gingersnaps, like, 10 times. So, that was pretty cool. But he was pleased to be recognized. He's that level of famous.
I think that's a good level.
Yeah.
As long as you're, like, getting steady work, and some people recognize you occasionally.
He was very short in real life. But he was the kind of guy who was, like, he was so pleased to be recognized. He's like, what day is he working, man? I'll come back, get another coffee. And he never did, but still...
I think that's great, though. I mean, you're getting enough work that some people recognize you, so it's not really a pain.
Although I did give him his coffee for free, so maybe that was his only consideration. Just like, sweet, I can get a free latte out of this kid. Like Gingersnaps, a fucking werewolf movie I was in, like, sucker. You know, I looked up the Academy... No, I didn't, but I should. Look up the Academy Award winners for the year Gingersnaps came out and be like, Gingersnaps was robbed. That was the best movie of the year. That was awesome. Any American people that listen to this... It never got released in theaters anywhere except Canada. It went straight to DVD everywhere else. But Gingersnaps with... what's her name? Anyway, it's called Gingersnaps. It's a werewolf movie. Don't get part 2 or part 3, but part 1 was so good. I watched it last year.
Speaking of Canadian movies that are hard to get, you can get this in the States or probably anywhere else, but it's not very famous. Have you ever seen The Wrong Guy?
Is that the one with the kids in the hall?
Dave Foley.
Yeah, no, I never saw it, though.
Oh, I love that one. It has a few famous, somewhat famous people. It has Jennifer Tilly and Joe Flaherty. But it's a very funny movie. I mean, it's not like top 10 best ever, but I really like it. Also, the Bare Naked Ladies have a cameo. They're singing cops.
Nice.
Yeah. But the premise of the movie is that this guy thinks he's framed for a crime he didn't commit, but everyone knows he didn't do it, so he's on the run for no reason.
Speaking of Canadian shit, the Trailer Park Boys have a new movie coming out. The trailer looks pretty good. It looks better than the first one.
I didn't see the first one. I haven't seen enough of that show. I mean, I've seen a lot of episodes, but not like it's really sat down and paid attention.
I think it's like finally done for good, so I think this movie is their last hurrah. But I heard somewhere, this is just one of these sad reminders of how small our population is, that it was the biggest opening weekend for a Canadian film ever, and it made like $3.5 million. Like, can you imagine if that happened?
I'm sure
in the
that's
States?
Making money for that show.
But like, if a movie in the States doesn't make $70 million, it's a disaster.
One
like,
thing though, I remember when Randy and Leahy came to Fredericton. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've still got like pictures and stuff with them. So yeah, that was cool. And apparently, the girl that plays Sarah, the redheaded girl, she goes to Strange Adventures in Halifax.
Ah, cool.
She's a customer of the Halifax shop.
Don't complain, but you still do. thin and wicked prairie winds come in. It's warm and it's safe here, and almost hard. But you still do. And you can complain if you want to complain. Well, your ribbons from metal are supple or sexy as hell. Say I believe or say without shame I can't tell. Where the wild are strong.
But before, we were talking about the Scott Pilgrim movie.
Yeah, Scott Pilgrim, that's right.
You've seen Arrested Development, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The fifth ex, Roxy, I think that's her name, right? The ninja?
Okay, yeah, yeah, right.
She's being played by Mae Whitman. Do you know who that is?
No.
She played Anne on Arrested Development.
Really? Wait, the first Anne or the second Anne? Because weren't there two?
I think it was just the same, and then she got pretty.
Maybe. Anyway,
I could be
cool.
Wrong.
Well, I thought it was so strange that nobody in the Scott Pilgrim movie I've ever heard of except Michael Cera. Mm. So it's nice that there's somebody
but
else.
But I think it's great, because now to get a new girlfriend, George Michael has to kill Anne. Yeah.
See, I really am curious how he's going to pull this off, because I really do like Michael Cera. I've never
not
liked him.
But he's not... He's in my mind. He is furthest away from
Scott Pilgrim.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, Scott Pilgrim is like energetic and dopey.
And here's the thing: it's a character that would be hard to put into flesh,
right?
Because he's very much over the top in many ways, and you could really ruin him by putting him in flesh because he's very much made for comics.
I really don't even think I would have the balls, even if I were a director who knew what I was doing, to try to make a Scott Pilgrim movie. Like, I'm pretty impressed that, and I'm glad
it's Edgar Wright, yeah. So that's a good choice.
Did I just ever tell you about my, speaking of celebrity encounters, that I met Brian Lee O'Malley in Halifax?
You might have.
It was like back in 2006 or 2007. Well, basically how I met him was, since Strange Adventures is the comic shop here, and there's the other branches, the main branches in Halifax, and the guy Cal that runs the store was setting up like a softball team league thing, mm-hmm. or something, and Brian O'Malley had just moved to Halifax, so he was part of this through Cal. So he introduced me to him, and it was him and his girlfriend Hope Larson, and I was there with me and the girl I was dating at the time, and thank God I had a girl with me, because it was the only thing that rescued this ridiculous exchange, where it was fall and it was a little bit cold outside, so I had a sweater on, and I met the guy and I was like, oh man, I love Scott Pilgrim, it's so awesome, and I lifted up my sweater to show him I was wearing a Scott Pilgrim t-shirt. He's just like, yeah, thanks a lot, I'm gonna, you know, let's hopefully never meet again. But and also another Scott Pilgrim story is that same girl, her name is Erica. It was this coffee shop I worked at was where I met her, the one in Vancouver. It was, Erica had just moved to Vancouver, and then she broke up with the guy that she moved out there with. And there was this dude named Ryan who also worked there, who was kind of like one of those vegan punks, where he's like a punk, but he's a real skinny, weak punk, you know? Like, he's all just vegetarian and or vegan or whatever, and he has like those hoops in his ears. Anyway, he's a cool enough guy, but like a propagandy punk, like not tough. Anyway, the point is that one of us brought up one night when we were both working together, like, man, Erica's pretty hot, you know, I'm going to try to, like, date that chick. And then the other one was like, oh, really, you know? Well, of course you realize this means war. So we started this thing that, in hindsight, kind of made me feel like a bad person, where we were like, well, you know, we're gentlemen, let's do this the right way, you know? We'll both try to date her, but then we'll relay information to each other about what we found out about her and what kind of stuff she likes and whatever, which we did for a while. And eventually I ended up winning the battle and I dated her. But I was starting to feel bad about it, like, because it was like this weird game that me and him were playing that she didn't know about. But that's right when Scott Pilgrim Volume 1 came out. And I bought it, and then I sent Brian O'Malley an email just saying, like, hey, man, I'm doing this weird thing, and I feel like a scumbag, but your comic just made me feel better. And he didn't answer. So I didn't remind
you
him of
that. You are a scumbag. Well, clearly he just could not say that to you, because he's too polite.
Well, then after I did tell Erica about it, and it turns out she was somewhat flattered, but I don't know. She insisted that she wasn't interested in Ryan, but I don't know. He was kind of cool. I like to think that he was...
You'd date him.
Exactly. So, you know, and it makes me feel better. No, to think that if he was a contender, you know, like I achieved more.
And now, Anthony Gallegos on Love.
Each night when I go home, wish I had you in tow. Oh God, what a gift that would be. But the timing's just not right for me to be a part of your life, at least. That's what you tell me. But I could love you like no one else can. But please don't let it be misunderstood. I only say it all because I care. Amanda, come back home. 'Cause though you never lived here, this is where you always belonged. Amanda, come back home. 'Cause though you never lived here, this is where you always belong. I've been told that all that's gone never comes as easy as it should. Well, that must make you the most good of all. Don't let my words fall on deaf ears. Together we'll wipe away your tears, and then we'll find happiness if we try. All you have to do is grab my hand. When we falter, we'll help each other stand, and now we'll do whatever it takes. Amanda, come back home. Though you never lived here, this is where you always belong. Amanda, come back home. 'Cause though you never lived here, this is where you always belong. 'Cause though you never lived here, this is where you always belong. 'Cause though you never lived here, this is where you always belong.
Thank you, Anthony, for telling us about Love.
Anyway, Scott Pilgrim is going to be cool. I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it. I have faith.
So, I mean, the obvious thing would be to play the Plumtree song, Scott Pilgrim. Although I did that little video show I've been doing lately, I did play that video on it once. But okay. You were saying ideas for songs that would fit in a Scott Pilgrim
movie.
Yeah,
it would have to. I think it would have to be something Canadian.
Right.
And one song I want to play, if you can, assume you can get it, is...
It's the internet. I'll find it somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Is from, because just it's very Canadian, is the Raccoons end theme, Run With Us, by
now, the
Lisa
Raccoons
Lougheed.
Is a cartoon, right?
Yes.
Like, I'm vaguely remembering
it. Had Bert Raccoon. It was a really weird cartoon, too, because...
And wasn't the evil dude, like
Cyril Sneer?
Yeah, with a big cigar.
Yeah, he's like an aardvark who was really greedy.
I forgot all about that show.
And you know what's weird about the show is its origins, because I remember I had the... Like, it started out as a series of TV movies.
Right.
They were so incredibly different from what it became later. It started out more like what it became later was more like, this is just their wacky goings-on in the woods. Just this is what they're doing this week. But before, they were all freedom fighters fighting the evil forces of Cyril Sneer. It was so really, really different.
I do vaguely.
It'd sort of like be if that's how The Simpsons started. They were fighting the evil forces of Mr. Burns, and they had jet planes and shit.
And then they just turned into a domestic drama?
Yeah.
I do kind of remember that show, though, having sort of an environmentalist agenda.
Yeah, they did.
Going on.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I've actually noticed, I got to admit that I kind of like how in this town in particular, it's like you can't really try, maybe it's just me getting older and like all these young whippersnappers, but if you just let people kind of be free and do whatever, a lot of them are just going to be jerk assholes. You do kind of need to drop the hammer a bit, because I remember distinctly here in Fredericton when, like, two laws. The first one was you're not allowed to let your dogs poop anymore. Like, you get fined like $100 if they...
Scoop the poop. They cannot poop.
No, you gotta scoop the poop.
We cannot feed the dogs anymore.
Because when I was a young kid, I definitely remember that was not a law, and there was always poop all over the place.
Yeah.
And the other one is bike helmets. If you don't wear a bike helmet, they're pretty much on you in this town. You know, like, you're gonna get in trouble. And I noticed both those things, where on the way over here today, I saw one thing of poop, and I was like, what a dick. I can't believe someone did that. But that's, like, the one exception. And the other thing was bike helmets. I only saw one dude not wearing a bike helmet. But Stefan's got his bike helmet here.
And I did not bring a bike.
So why have you got the helmet?
Oh, I brought my bike to get a tune-up.
Oh, I see.
But I kind of just... Sometimes, like, I'll get off my bike and I'll go into the building where I need to, like, maybe let's say we're going to Jumbo. I'd ride my bike there and I wouldn't take it off. I would just wear it in the store for the whole time.
Like, you brought it now just to helmet up, just in case shit goes down. But the one guy, like, I saw a lot of bikes on the way over here today because it's just nice biking weather. But the one guy who wasn't wearing, just when we were over on Smythe Street, I saw a guy coming down the street, but not only did he not have the helmet, he didn't even have a shirt on. That guy was freewheeling.
Ew.
So that's understandable. But I just like that, where...
Now, maybe this is just because I'm a guy who's uncomfortable with his own body. Wear a fucking shirt. There's only a few people who can pull it off.
Well, this guy was, like, very tattooed and grizzled and, you know, like, permatan. But I like that you make a law, you have a ridiculously large fine, you enforce it like an asshole for 15 years, and things change. People will do what they're supposed to do, but you have to really be a dick.
Sometimes,
And this city is small enough that, like, they really can. Like, if you drive around without a helmet, you're going to get a fine. Or you let your dog shit, they're going to catch you.
Japan, no helmets.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a law or not, but no one seemed to care. So I didn't wear one either.
Yeah, I can see. Well, I mean, it's...
It was the lack of peer pressure.
Right. Yeah, like, that's the other aspect of it. But I don't know, I just like that idea of just, like, people doing what they're supposed to do because they have to. Because Big Brother made them. I'm kind of okay with that.
Would you support the rat helmet?
What's that?
Oh, at the end of 1984, that's how they get them to comply.
Oh.
They have a helmet, and like it's sort of like you saw all episodes of Important Things, right?
Demetri Martin's? Yes,
yeah.
I think. I might
There's an
one.
Episode where he's like imagining two scenarios at a wedding. Should he sit next to the jovial fat guy or the hot chick? And they both end with him getting the rat helmet. And that's basically what it is in the original story, only the rat is really hungry and it gnaws on his face.
When darkness falls.
just kind of feel like 1984 is one of those things I've seen referenced so much that I almost feel like I don't need to see it. Like, when I finally saw Citizen Kane, I was like, I enjoyed this much
more.
There
was no Kane in Citizen Kane.
And I really enjoyed it much more as, like, Simpson parodies than I did as the actual movie.
I have not yet to see Misery, but I'm pretty sure I can map it out.
Yeah, you've seen it, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Or The Shining. I've never seen The Shining, but I kind of have seen The Shining, you know?
There's one thing from The Shining you probably didn't... that wasn't referenced was that there's actually, like, furries in that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's brief, but it's kind of fucked up.
You know, that's one thing that sociologists of the future are going to have a fucking field day with. That, like, we've gone from... I mean, I think things are better now than they were in the past, but people were tougher in the past.
Yeah.
Nobody was masturbating to Sonic the Hedgehog 40 years ago, but now it's like... people, there's online forums of, like, I want to get married to Sonic the Hedgehog.
I read a really good book that I recommend. It's by Warren Ellis. It's one of his few prose books. He mostly does comics.
Right.
But it's called Crooked Little Vane, and it's sort of a comedy detective book, and that's really messed up. And it's basically, the entire book is how fetishes have really permeated the mainstream.
Right.
That's what the book is about, just how mainstream weird fetishism is. And he comes... I don't know if he's, like, created them. They must exist, even if he just created them for the book. One of them was megaheptophilia. Now, mega means big, and hepto means lizards. So it's basically people who watch re-edited Godzilla movies and whack off to them.
Well, that's like
there's an entire chapter about how it works, like, and it's hilarious. It's just, like, talking about how the monsters are fighting, and then it skips to, like, clearly not, like the original footage, and then it skips to clearly not original footage of guys fucking or something.
and then it ends with,
like, a... what was it? It ends with a facial on a Godzilla mask. And then afterwards, like, all the people in the theater are jacking off. And then afterwards, they bring in monitor lizards to lick everything up.
Oh, that's all.
It's a really good book. Despite that, or perhaps because of it, I highly recommend that book. It's hilarious.
Yeah, that sounds good. But I was going to say that I remember the original... have you ever seen that list of, like, rules of the internet?
Yeah.
And rule 34 is that there is porn of everything. But then they modified rule 34 to be, and I think this one is more accurate, that someone has jerked off to everything is, like, the more accurate way. It's like, maybe there's not literal porn made of whatever, but someone still jerked off to it. And I bet that's true. But there's a website, if you just search Rule 34, it's like an archive, and you can type in anything. Like, after I saw WALL-E, I was like, I gotta find out. Type in WALL-E, tons of WALL-E porn.
No!
There's everything. There's the Mythbusters. It's just like, it's ludicrous. There's Canadian money. They just took Canadian money and photoshopped hot chicks on it. It's like anything you can think of.
That's very 80s.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's just ridiculous.
It's not even that I'm necessarily against that. I'm against, or not against, I'm for most fetishes. Not so much like pedophilia, but,
right. But
for obvious reasons. But I'm like for it as long as it, like, doesn't hurt anyone and it's more in the realm of fantasy.
Right. But it still doesn't mean we can't question and dissect.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, like, still, I have to go, that doesn't seem like... I have no idea how you could be sexually attracted to that.
There was this one... there's this thing called Heroes of the Web that... I was telling you, I was listening to this old video game podcast, the Games for Windows podcast. They find ridiculous message board posts and just read them in funny voices, basically, and, like, nerd voices. And one of them was this guy who... said that he'd been in love with one of the characters from the Game Boy Zelda game ever since he was a very young person.
It wasn't Zelda, was it?
No, it was like Marin, I think her name was. And he's talking about the emotional attachment he has, but then he can't help but throw in a little bit about how she's hot. And we're talking about green Game Boy, like the old school one. And he's like talking about how he wants to organize this pilgrimage of people to go... to track down Miyamoto-san, you know, the Shigeru Miyamoto, that's his name, the guy that made Zelda, because he's convinced that these characters could not be so realistic if they weren't modeled on real people, so he wants to find out who the real Marin was, because that's his soulmate, and all this horseshit, and it's like, you just need to go get a job and talk to people, you know? Like,
it's
good
sort of,
God.
It sort of reminds me about, I don't see how you can think that about a fictional character. Not that you can fall in love, that I'm actually sort of willing to accept, though I have not done it myself. But the idea that you cannot have thought of this or imagined this unless blank. The big one is, oh, you must have been doing so many drugs when you came up with that. That is clearly... only people who do a lot of drugs could just assume that.
Yeah, because it's... yeah, people can get off track more than capably by themselves. But if I can find some of these, I'll clip them up, put them in. But one of them, these things, was... it's like when people think they have real-life experience, but only from playing video games their whole life. Mm-hmm. So this one was this guy talking about how to deal with death and how to move on and stuff. But his example was Aeris from Final Fantasy VII. And he's like, after Aeris died, I just didn't know what to do. I'd go into battle and not properly manage my stuff, and I totally neglected my chocobos, and I'd just go to the golden saucer and just hang out for hours. But finally, you just learn to move on. You learn to accept it. And it's like, this, you've never experienced real tragedy. This is Final Fantasy VII. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, God.
But it is very hilarious. The other one that I got to put in is he has this other character. It's this guy named Sean Elliott, who used to be a games reviewer, and now he works for the guys that made Bioshock. But he's got his different nerd voices. One of them is the whiskey nerd, who's like the guy who's just seen it all and is like grizzled. And he's like, one time I played Tetris for like 13 hours straight. And then one of my lady friends came over, and we were started getting a little heavy in the bathroom. But I looked at the bathroom tiles, and all I could see was Tetris shapes, and I couldn't get it up. So I just told her I had whiskey dick, and she eventually went home. It's like, what is the point of this story? What wisdom are you imparting here?
I just want people to know.
It's awesome, though. There's tons of just, like, the internet is such a fucked up place. Like, I don't know. It's so weird.
I think the reason is just because... There's a sense of, first of all, there's anonymity, but at the same time, some of these people aren't doing this anonymously, necessarily. Another place is just, the world is becoming more open about things.
Yeah.
And I think people aren't as selective about what they're supposed to be open about anymore.
And a part of it's just, yeah, because of the internet and stuff, it's such a flood, you can't fight it anyway. There's weirdos everywhere, so you might as well just accept it.
Moving on, I think it's a good time. Now is as good a time as any to talk about the heroes of the web.
Ah, oh, good.
That's our weekly segment. It's basically just a loving reading, a loving dramatic reading of some of the finest specimens of internet posting. Okay. A couple days ago, I picked up Tetris DS again and discovered online play, and I just love whooping kid asses all day in it. And I play those Japanese people and get my ass whooped all day. Basically, I've been playing for at least 2 to 3 hours a day, and I'm hooked all over again despite the shitty unlimited turn move. So, of course, I've succumbed to the Tetris syndrome, where I see Tetris blocks everywhere, and it's embarrassing. But I know I'm not the only one this has happened to. So anyway, while I was watching a movie with a lady friend of mine last night, and that would be Captain Ron for those of you who are interested, we started getting a little touchy-feely. After a couple more shots of Kharkov vodka, that's $12 a handle. I keep it fucking classy. And some make-out sessions, we went into the bathroom. Before you know it, we were having sex on the bathroom floor. And yet the only goddamn thing I could do was stare at the bathroom tiles, which were tiny squares and looked exactly like Tetris pieces, and envisioned putting the pieces together. I got so distracted I had to stop, and I couldn't tell her the truth. So I just claimed I had a massive whiskey dick, and she eventually went home. Let me gear up and find the right voice for him. I think this guy's a whiskey nerd.
Oh, yay, okay. Whiskey nerd.
That was the most pathetic podcast I've ever heard, referring to Ryan.
Oh.
His comments about Guild Wars is laughable. Guild Wars is very complex, and it is very possible to beat the encounter that he speak of with the right set of skills and strategy. He is just a clueless noob who should go back to play bread and butter RPGs like Hello Kitty Online and World of Warcraft.
Ouch.
I am too good to take note of what nerds and podcasts thinks of game. I see myself as a masterful, hardcore gamer who has more knowledge than most. And I'm one of the few who are able to grasp the depth of Guild Wars.
He's one of the few? I'm sorry.
I would not expect lesser people to be able to understand, though. I've clocked in over 8,000 hours into Guild Wars now, and I still have not tried more than 5 to 10% of the currently existing skill-based combinations.
8,000 hours?
So you read that right.
Wow.
And the first thing, actually, I interacted a little bit with this hero, and the first thing was to call into question
the authenticity of the that claim, or the veracity of that claim, rather. And he sure enough took a screen cap of his character state. And he had more than 8,000 hours on there, which means we did the math, you know, and there being somewhere roughly around 2,600 hours in a year, you know, in 24-hour days. He came close to playing, you know, 365 days without sleep, or since the time the game has been released, he's played about 12 hours a day. And if that's not a poop sucker, I can't tell you what is.
Wow, he's bragging.
So Spoons says,
I know I'll probably be attacked for this. Video games are for losers, etc. But this is exactly how I felt when Aerith died. I honestly didn't know what to do. I was pretty much in a daze. I'd go into battle without any materia equipped. I'd forget to heal my characters after battles, completely neglecting my chocobos. I would just go to the Golden Saucer and dig around for hours and hours at a time playing minigames. I just didn't see any point to advancing the story. How could there be a story without her? Well, it took some time, but I got over it. And I took my revenge on Sephi, KOTR plus Mimic, FTW. And the point is, I'm sure you will too. If there's anything I'd take from this, it's that life goes on, even after losing a loved one. It's just up to you how long it takes.
So, that's so true.
That's like
is that on the GFW boards?
Dude, that's on one of the one-up boards. I forget which one. No, because that kid would have been ripped.
On our
okay, yeah. 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 Okay, yeah. That voice. So now we got to develop. That's gonna be like emo nerd.
The problem.
This is the second time I've heard this claim in about a week or so, and I'm at a loss as to where it comes from. I could likely find plenty of pictures of him dirty and her sweating, but has anyone got any reference for this whole Superman doesn't need to go to the bathroom or sweat thing?
I seem to recall that Mark Schultz once said in Wizard that one of the things he most wanted to do was make Superman able to sweat or to urinate. Apparently, he wrote a scene that had Superman sweating. An editorial wrote back that Superman doesn't sweat. I'm sure I've seen him sweat, but then again, even if he has sweat glands, nothing on Earth should make him exert himself to do it. And he can plunge right into the sun, so no temperature on Earth should make him that hot. It's actually interesting to think about.
Oh, yeah. One of Byrne's changes in the Superman revamp was how Superman now uses 100% of whatever he ingests for energy, and therefore doesn't create waste, including sweat, feces, etc. Why he felt this topic needed explicit addressing is beyond me.
I remember reading somewhere a long time ago that Superman doesn't have to eat, so you're right. It makes sense. He gets everything he needs from our yellow sun. I guess this would be why he doesn't need to urinate or doo-doo. Under the yellow sun, his digestive system completely breaks down the food which he chooses to eat and leaves no waste. Under a red sun, I'm sure he could and would do all the same stuff that we have to do.
I don't know. That whole no sweating thing could play hell on a secret identity. Suppose Metropolis is hit with a heat wave. Not the villain heat wave, but a real heat wave. How would Clark be able to explain away not sweating?
He could just explain it as his body being really good at regulating temperatures. I mean, I know people who don't sweat at all in conditions that make me sweat gallons.
Superman doesn't sweat because if he doesn't feel heat or cold when he has his powers, it's...
Dude, I'm going back. I just conflated fucking Earl Vest, the man hungry, mad hungry for the written word.
When he has his powers, it's simply because the factors that cause people to biologically sweat don't affect him nearly as much. When he loses his powers, all bets are off. The idea that he doesn't have to use the bathroom, however, is absurd. We all use the bathroom, even me.
Yeah, so that's some hero from a comic book form.
well, again, we got off track. We were talking about Canada. Can you think of any Scott songs that would be good for the Scott Pilgrim movie? Something Canadian-y?
I definitely like, well, like how that song is based on. I didn't even know this band, really, but they're a band from Halifax, like a kind of small-time indie band, Plumtree. So I'd say something along that vein. Like, there was this whole thing in Halifax when Sloan first started, the Halifax, like, pop explosion, where there was, like, Sloan and the Hardship Post and the Super Friends and
Jail. I always got Sloan mixed up with Oasis.
Right. Well, one of them's way more British.
Yes.
So, I guess I'd say one of those type of bands, but probably Sloan, because Sloan's the only one that's still around and that's still famous. But I don't know what song off the top of my head.
I think Brian Lee O'Malley likes Sloan, doesn't he?
Probably. I always meant like to. That. He puts like playlists in the back of Scott Pilgrim, so I
you
tried
might
want to
throw some of those in there.
I remember I tried to track one down one time, and it's some like really obscure like alt country shit that I couldn't even find. But I know he likes this guy Graham Parsons. He used to have a band called the Flying Burrito Brothers, and that's where the
Flying Burrito Restaurant?
Yeah, that he used to work at is based. There's so many weird music references. There'd have to be a Neil Young song because everyone in that is like based on. There's Young Neil, obviously, but then what's the
guy with the beard?
The main dude in Sex Bob-omb. He's named after someone, and I can't remember now. Like tons of the characters.
Sorry, the guy
names.
With the grit, because the guy with the beard's the weird misogynist gay guy, right?
Yeah, no, I'm thinking of the other guy who's got the bitchy girlfriend who's that.
Ironically, the only name of a song I can think of is Horse with No Name.
Right.
Is that the original name of the song? Because it seems like it's one of those. It seems like that when you think of that name, it sounds like, you know, like when the family gathers around to watch Urkel. That's not the name of the show. But,
yeah, that very well may not be the name. I don't know.
I like the reverse. Was it when people will call the characters in the movies the title? Like, oh, it's Die Hard.
Right.
I think they made that joke on Simpsons twice, and I liked it both times. Well, the more famous one, I think, is the more recent one, which is, Dear Die Hard, I really liked it when that guy jumped through the window. P.S., do you know Mad Max? There's an older one where it was, they have, like, the stolen cable way back then, and Bart's watching movies, and, this is where Jaws eats the boat. Ah, this is where Die Hard jumps through the window. This is where Wall Street gets arrested.
Yeah. You know, The Simpsons, I've noticed lately, is starting to repeat jokes as if I'm not going to remember just because it was 13 years ago, but I remember.
Can't fool me, TV show.
Take control of having what you want around you, and every blink of your eyes can make an old man seem younger. But this loose lip of yours could sing and laugh in you. We all try to share your point of view before we set the wheels in motion and launched into the ocean. All aboard, the sinking ship is leaving with all the secrets that you sold me, the ones without reply. Your point of view, but you've completely undermined us, and now I'm here to drop a line. Let's turn around. There's nobody around for miles. There's nobody around for miles. There's nobody around for miles. Nobody around. We got a long
trying to think of, let's just try to think of one more Canadian song that would be good for the Scott Pilgrim movie.
You were saying the Littlest Hobo theme?
Okay, there's that. See, that's if you couldn't get the Raccoons one or you wanted to go really Canadian, there's nothing more Canadian than the Littlest Hobo's theme.
The Littlest Hobo, by the way, he was the dog that went from town to town and solved everyone's problems.
Basically, it was a cross between Lassie and the Incredible Hulk, yeah. Or the Fugitive.
It would be kind of nice to watch one of those again. Just
I want to know his origin story.
Yeah, and just like, how does that, did that even work? Like, it seems unlikely. Yeah, like, how could a dog perform all these feats every week?
He's a smart dog.
It's basically like at the end of Pulp Fiction, when Jules says he just wants to walk the earth, kung fu style.
That's the dog.
That's what Little Lizobo does.
That's great, though, because, like, there's nothing... He's a blank slate, to a certain extent, so you can really put all you want into him.
Wouldn't that be great for the series finale? They're just like, yeah, this dog has some adventures, but he's a dumb dog. He doesn't remember any of them. Yeah. May as like well, it never happened.
Just have a dumb dog face with the tongue hanging out, you know, just when dogs, even though they're not, we have no idea what their emotions are, kind of when they look really happy.
Or, well, that's what they could say every time, like previously on The Littlest Hobo, and just show the dog with his tongue out. That's all that ever happens. But one thing, one nice Canadian song that I think you could sneak in pretty well would be the Kids in the Hall theme song.
Anything by Shadowy Men on a Shadowy Planet would be good.
Yeah.
I remember there was one song I had by them. What's it called? They Don't Call Them Chihuahuas Anymore.
Right. Yeah, they had a video for that one.
They did. It was like, they showed it occasionally when they had like Al Music or whatever comedy thing they were having that year. It was basically just the song and some chihuahuas. And one was them on the turntable.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they should totally. That would be great to work in one of those. Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, times that... Well, I know when I was in New York, and this girl, April, from Newfoundland, came down to visit, and she was shacking up with my roommate. But she brought the Trailer Park Boys movie in, and I watched it because it was in the house. Mm-hmm. And at the end, there's, like, a Tragically Hip song during the end credits. And I just remember, like, being surrounded by America and just feeling the Canadian pride. Like, fuck yeah!
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, it's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Down this road that never seems to end. When new adventure lies just around the bend. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's hobo style. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow the whole world is my home. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's hobo style. Down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. Maybe tomorrow, I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. There's a world that's waiting to unfold. A brand new tale no one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but you know it won't be long. We're almost there when we've paid our fare with a hobo song. Maybe tomorrow, I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's hobo style. Maybe tomorrow I'll find what I call home. Until tomorrow, you know I'm free to roam.
All right, and I think that's where we'll end our show.
Cool.
So just take our movie recommendations and shove them up your ass.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know where that came from. I'm hurting, I guess. Watch those movies.
I'm deeply hurting on the inside. Yeah, so let's go see if we can find a movie, and if not, whatever.
All right.
We're relatively young. It's on our whole identity.